low guttural moans and all too realistic sounding whimpers of pain. I risk a glance inside and find the guy snoring on his lounger, hand tucked into his unbuttoned pants. Well, I hope he was able to enjoy the last moments of his life. I've been through the house once before, though that was several weeks ago, the last time I was able to make it out to this area. He's got a decent alarm system, though he's not super smart about the placement of his keypad. Anyone with a halfway decent Wi-Fi camera strategically placed in the right spot could easily figure out the code. He's also got a firearm in his bedside table. Last time I was here, I unloaded it. I wonder if he noticed. He won't have time to get to it, either way. Fat lot of good a gun does you if it's out of reach when you need it. I take a moment longer, listening and waiting, forcing myself to regulate my breathing. I'm ready. I pull the car escape tool from my pocket and crouch, pressing the spring-loaded spike against the bottom corner of one of the large sliding doors. Then I turn my head, close my eyes to protect them, and click the release button. The entire window shatters, pebbles of tempered glass scattering across the ground. In seconds, I'm through the door and on my target. I straddle him, pinning his arms to his sides. His eyes go wide with groggy confusion. He's too slow to wake up and understand what's going on. By the time he starts to figure it out, I've already taped his mouth shut. He starts to fight against me, bucking on the lounger. He doesn't have enough leverage. He's already lost. He just doesn't want to accept it. That's fine. He will. Eventually. He screams against the tape, trying to form words. I don't have to hear him to know what he's asking. It's what they all ask. Who are you? Why are you doing this? I lean in close, force him to meet my eyes. Then I tell him, you fucked with the wrong person. Chapter 1. Gwen. 3 months later. Sometimes I think of the woman I used to be and laugh. Gina Royal was naive, compliant, boring. She had dinner on the table by 6, never talked back, and kept the house clean and in order. Except for the garage, of course. That was my ex-husband Melvin's domain, and strictly off-limits to me and our 2 kids. Gina Royal was also afraid of guns, a fact that I find laughable now, especially given that shooting has become its own form of therapy over the years. When I'm shooting, it commands my entire focus. I'm able to forget about everything but the feel of the grip against my palm, the balance of my feet on the floor, the shifting of my weight, the tension of the trigger under my finger, and the coiling explosion that ricochets through my body after the firing pin strikes the primer, igniting the powder and forcing the bullet out of the cartridge and toward the target downrange at a rate of 1,200 feet per second. It's only after the last bullet is fired and the slide locks back that the rest of the world comes flooding in. I notice the slight draft of air across my skin from the negative pressure pulling gun smoke downrange. I hear the deep whump of someone shooting a .460 Magnum in another range bay, even through my ear protection. My thoughts return as well, despite my best efforts to shut them out. The first episode of The Royal Murders dropped today, a new podcast about my serial killer ex-husband, Melvin Royal. I've been expecting it. They've been advertising it for weeks. Against my better judgment, I listened to it the first chance I got. Now I regret that decision. Snippets keep playing through my head over and over as I secure a new target to the clips and send it downrange before methodically reloading the magazine. The first episode focused on Melvin's last victim, Callie Applegate, the woman I'd seen hanging mutilated in my garage. It was gutting. The co-hosts Madison Westcott and Rowan Applegate walked listeners through Callie's early life, from being separated